Last Sunday kind of kicked off a talk that was called Prepare the Way. It was out of Mark chapter 1, and Mark chapter 1 kind of opens talking about John the Baptist, and last week talked about what his ministry represented, and it was all about repentance and humility. Anybody blessed by the sermon last Sunday? Did it bless you? Did it help you? Did it stir something up? 10 of you, praise the Lord. It blessed 10 people. Hallelujah. We got a little liturgical. Anybody appreciate the liturgical? I feel like Medea when I say that word. Like liturgy, children, praise the Lord. Today, I'm going to read out of Luke chapter 1. So last Sunday was Mark chapter 1. Today, I'm going to read out of Luke chapter 1. Amen. A little bit about who authored Luke. It was Dr. Luke. Amen. Written about 60 A.D., the Gospel of Luke is the only known Gentile author in the New Testament, also wrote Acts, and being a doctor that he is, wrote in painstaking detail, the most detailed, also recorded had the most amount of works of healing like a doctor would, like a physician would, right? Cared all about, had the most accounts of healing in of all the Gospels. I don't know how we have his recorded writings, though, because have you ever been able to discern a doctor's handwriting? Tradition holds that he would have talked with Mary personally about the birth, the firsthand, the accounts of it. And Luke lifts up the humanity of Jesus. Jesus was 100% God, 100% human. I don't remember if I talked about that last week. I may have talked about it downtown, but in the book of Ezekiel and Revelation, it talks about the four faces of God, that being a lion, an eagle, a man, and an ox. Many scholars will talk about to the fact that these four faces of God are actually pointing to the four Gospels themselves and how each Gospel is representative of one of the faces of God. John's Gospel is called the face, bearing the face of an eagle. It focuses on Jesus' divine nature. Mark, the face of an ox, showing Jesus as the strong yet humble servant. Remember, I talked about Mark last week, but it's just telling you everything he did. We don't have time to hear about what people said. Let's just talk about what he did. He was a servant. Luke is the face of man. So Jesus in Luke most often referring to himself as the Son of Man. The genealogy of Mary's line highlights his humanity, whereas Matthew's genealogy highlights Jesus' royal lineage to King David, which is why the face of Matthew would be that of the lion wanting to show off that Jesus is king. Amen. That's some good teaching right there. Last week, Mark picks up talking about John the Baptist. This week, we're going back in time to prepare the way. We're talking about John the Baptist's parents, Zechariah and Elizabeth. So we are going to read some scripture today. Did you bring your Bible? You did? Grab that thing. Grab your Bible. Hold it up in the air. Hold it up in the air if you brought your Bible. Give somebody next to you a Bible high five. Praise the Lord. Come on, John. Bible high five. There it is. Oh, an anointee. Just anointed his wife. Just bless you, honey. Praise God. We're going to read a lot of scripture. And really, today is I like to every now and then, more so often these days than not, I just want to read the scripture. And as we get around the account of Jesus' birth, this Christmas account of the birth of Jesus, I want to see it with fresh eyes. And I want to just break it open and just read it together because there's power in the Word of God. Amen? And so seriously, keep your Bible open. Let's read together. If you don't have your Bible, we got you hooked up. Big screen Bible right there. Boom, going straight to verse 10 for some reason. Luke chapter 1 is where I'm going to start, verse 1. So here we go. It says that many people have set out to write accounts about the events that have been fulfilled among us. They use the eyewitness reports circulating among us from the early disciples, having carefully investigated everything from the beginning. I told you this dude was a doctor. Who wants a careful doctor? Amen. I know I do. I have also decided to write an accurate account for you, most honorable Theophilus. Ooh, we have a recipient, Theophilus. Amen. Any Theos in the house? It's a good name. So you can be certain of the truth of everything that you were taught. Verse 5, when Herod was king of Judea, there was a Jewish priest named Zechariah. He was a member of the priestly order of Abijah, and his wife Elizabeth was also from the priestly line of Aaron. Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in God's eyes. Come on, what do you want said about you? I would love, if God ever decides to talk about me again in the future, I would love for the Lord to say about me that I was righteous in his eyes. Amen? It says, careful to obey all of the Lord's commandments and regulations. I got some work to do if he's going to say that about me. Praise the Lord. They had no children because Elizabeth was unable to conceive, and they were both very old. Amen. Put that on your bio. Praise the Lord. One day, someone say one day, Zechariah was serving God in the temple, for his order was on duty that week, as was the custom of the priests. He was chosen by lot to enter the sanctuary of the Lord to burn incense. So Zechariah was a Jewish priest who worked at the temple, which means that his responsibility was to manage its upkeep, to teach the people the scriptures, and also to direct the worship services, right? So to be a priest in that time, you wore a lot of different hats. Amen. You need to be thankful that I'm not responsible for directing the worship services on a Sunday. Praise the Lord. Although, let's be honest, I can kind of hold a tune, right? Okay. Thank you. I love it when you're looking for encouragement. People are just like, ha, ha, got to know your lane. Got to know your lane. And at this time, there would have been about 20,000 priests throughout the country. Too many to minister at once. So what would happen is these priests would be divided into 24 separate groups that could be as large as up to 1,000 priests per group. Each morning, one of the priests were to enter the holy place in the temple to burn incense, and then they would cast lots. What is that? That's like a dice game on the corner, basically, okay? They're casting lots to decide who would enter the inner sanctuary. And then one day, the Bible says, the lot fell to this priest, Zechariah. And in verse 10, it says that while the incense was being burned, a great crowd stood outside praying. While Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the incense altar. Come on. I've preached about that before. That position matters. Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him. But the angel said, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer." How many people are thankful that we serve a God that hears our prayers? That your prayers don't just go off into the ether. They don't just flow off into the horizon. You know what I mean? If you've ever wondered when you pray or even try to talk or think to God or communicate with the Lord, it's just, God, is this even getting to you? Or is there too much cloud coverage above me? No, God hears your prayers. Tell your neighbor, say, God hears your prayers. Come on, tell him. God has heard your prayer. Your wife, Elizabeth, will give you a son. And you are to name him John. That's a good name. Come on, Brother John. You will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He must not touch wine or other alcoholic drinks. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit, not Boone's Farm, even before his birth. And he will turn. When was the last time you heard about Boone's Farm? Am I a senior in high school? And he will. Forgot we kept the high schoolers in now. He will turn many Israelites to the Lord their God, and he will be a man with the spirit and power of Elijah. He will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and he will cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly. Such a great promise, directly in kind in response to Zechariah and Elizabeth's prayers that God had been hearing. But before we get to all that and we think about what happened there and God's fulfillment of their prayers, what do we see about markers on Zechariah's life? Words stand out to me about who and what kind of a man Zechariah was. Words such as, one day, this stands out to me, that it was not an expected day. It was not an appointed day. It wasn't a, hey, you have a job interview on this Friday, so time to look your best and prepare for how to answer all the questions correctly. But it just happened to be on a day. There's a power in the believers knowing what it is to be ready in season and out. Amen. In our leaders meeting, I called Abby up and I said, hey, Abby, come on, what's the word of the Lord today? Talk to me about being a witness. And she came up and she dropped knowledge. I did not prepare her. She's just ready in season and out. It speaks to the marker and the kind of life that Zechariah lived, that even though it was one day, it happened to happen to him, it happened to be cast by lots, Zechariah was ready. What else stands out to me? This word serving. Serving stood out to me. Zechariah was a man who wasn't just out to say, hey, what can you do for me? He lived the kind of life that wanted to serve God and serve others. What else stands out to me? He was on duty. He said, this is what I was built for. I'm built different. I'm built for this. I'm on duty. My God, you have called me. I'm on duty. As was his custom. Amen. I believe in the importance of what it is to be a believer who knows how to be on fire for God. Amen. You've heard me talk about this. It is such a value. It is what I'm looking for, that when I look at someone who may be being set apart or be called by God, I'm looking to, do they know what it is to be on fire for the Lord? I love that. I would encourage, if you've never known what it is to be passionate and zealous and filled, overflowing with a passion for God, I'd encourage you to seek out your quiet place, your secret place. Cry out to God and say, Lord, turn my heart of stone, make it a heart of flesh, that it might know what it is to bleed and to pump and to roar, God, passionately for what you have for me. And yet, there is a burning bright, and there is a burning long. There is a burning fast and bright, only to fizzle out in a short time, versus a burning long that would sustain over seasons. I don't know about you, but if my power goes out and it's pitch black, I'm not worried about finding the brightest candle in the house. I just want to know that I've got some candles that will sustain me enough time to get my power back. One of the great ways that I've heard, and I love this way, that should be described about a true Christian life, one of the ways it can be described is a long obedience in the same direction. A long obedience in the same direction. I love passion. I love zeal. Your boy loves to get fired up. Ooh, I could preach about fanning into flame the gift of faith. Can I get an amen? But you will truly not know God's faithfulness truly until you know what it is to obey God in the regular and in the routine over the long haul. The longer I am in leadership and in pastoring and in ministry, I won't even count before being a pastor as leadership in my own life. I stepped into the calling of full-time ministry in 2012. So been pastoring now for, how long is that? I'm a pastor, not a mathematician. 12 years. And I know what it is to love someone who burns bright. But man, more and more these days, I'm looking for people of God who I can just count on. Who would just stick with it. Who would just keep tithing. Who would just keep praying. The angel of the Lord said to Zechariah, God has heard your prayers. Brother and sister were old. How old? Real old. I felt like we had a call and response thing ready there. How old? How old were they, Pastor? They were old. And yet one of the first things that the angel says to Zechariah is, God has heard your prayers. How long were Zechariah and Elizabeth still praying for a child? And when would you have given up on that prayer? Can I get an amen? Amen. Just someone who would keep serving the Lord. Zechariah's like, this is what I do. I serve God. I serve people in God's house. I perform my priestly duties. Can I remind you, there had been no godly revelation within the people for 400 years. Can you imagine what it is to be a priest in the temple, not having any godly revelation? We get godly revelation every day. We are blessed with the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit. We have the Word of God. We have God that speaks to us and speaks to us in His Word every day now. We are so blessed. We are spoiled. Zechariah is a priest in a time where there's no godly revelation for 400 years. And as was his habit, as was his custom, I'm still showing up. I'm still lighting that candle. I still might maybe win the priestly lottery. Who knows? But I'm still showing up. You can still count on me, God. Has the Christmas story become just a cute story to you, or are you preparing the way in your heart and in your mind to this realization that heaven invaded earth? We're not just celebrating a little baby. We are celebrating that God Almighty broke through into our life. Revelation is now. This is a time to prepare our hearts. Thank you, Lord. But it's not by some fantastic display. It is being faithful in the everyday things. When life doesn't go how you planned it to go, will you still prepare the way? Will you still pray when the prayer hasn't been answered, as you would put it? Will you still seek His face? Will you still give even when it don't make sense in the natural? Talking with Brother Blake this morning, he was sitting there just like a sage in the green room, just holding court. I was like, this man is such a blessing. Just talking about how in a season where they were having great financial difficulty, he's like, I don't know how I'm gonna make this work. He took on two jobs on top of his main job to be able to pay off all their debt. And he said, Keno, you know, I don't even have to tell you, never drew back in tithing and giving God the first. And you look at the blessed life they have now. You're a good man. God is just looking for some Zechariahs. God is just looking for some faithfulness. And we are faithful in the natural times. God will surprise you with the supernatural. Why? Zechariah. Because he's shown himself as being somebody that God could trust. God has heard your prayers. Okay. Now let's throw Zechariah on the bus. You ready? Next verse. Verse 18. Zechariah said to the angel, after the angel was just like, God has heard your prayers. You're going to have this son. He's going to be the forerunner. He's going to move in power like Elijah. Amen. And good old Zeki boy. We commend him for his steadiness. And yet, he does show us seemingly a lack of faith. Zechariah says to the angel, how can I be sure this will happen? I'm an old man now, and my wife is well along in years. I love how Zechariah is still trying to cover his wife, right? Because the Bible is like, she old. But Zechariah's, no, she's just well along in years. But this is fantastical to me, is because Zechariah had an angelic visitation, and he still couldn't believe for a miracle. Verse 19, the angel says, I am Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God. It was He who sent me to bring you this good news. But now since you didn't believe what I said, you will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born. For my words will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time. And for the next, I guess, I don't know, like nine and a half months, we see Zechariah completely silent. Do you think his wife, Liz, was rejoicing about that? Like, do you think she was pumped about it? She's like, thank you, Lord. You do hear prayers. Why is he silent? I mean, it's right there in the scripture. Because he had more faith in his problems than he did in God's power. That's why he was silenced. Your words matter. Your words matter. Me and Mike, every now and then, love to make fun of, like, hyper word of faith people who are like, name it and claim it. You know what I mean? Because it can get a little wacky. But I am the kind of person that does understand your words do matter. And disbelief should be silenced. I say this all the time. It's one of my favorite phrases to say when it comes to your thinking and your words, is that we got to be better at speaking to ourselves than we are at listening to ourselves. I'll say it again. It's one of my favorite phrases of all time. We got to get better at speaking to ourselves than we are at listening to ourselves. Amen? Now, we want to be able to hear that still small voice of the Holy Spirit, like Alex says, which often does sound like us, so I want to be able to discern that. But most of the time where I hear myself, most of the time it's a negative, doubtful, insecure, fearful, prideful, anxious, worrying kind of a voice. Okay? What's that? That's just my flesh. You've got it too. Right? And how do we know it's not my flesh, but it's God? They both kind of sound like me. Well, God will say things to you that doesn't sound like to you most of the time. So it's a higher level of thinking. It's a better way of acting and behaving and believing. Amen? And so we got to get better at speaking to ourselves than we are at listening to ourselves. If you haven't seen God's promises unfold in your life, just because you don't see something doesn't mean that you should say something. If you haven't seen it yet, doesn't mean you have to arrive at a conclusion. Amen? You don't want to be the kind of person who talks yourself out of God's promises. That in the spirit, when it comes to our prayer life and what we're believing for, we got to be the kind of, my wife is really good at this. Before we ever bought a house, I'm going to be honest with you guys. I know I look like a pretty faithful spiritual person up here. And then there's people that really know me. And for so long, I was just like, I don't know, babe. Like, we got so much debt, and I don't know, babe. Like, man, we got all these other things. We got these bills. We got these commitments that we're doing. And then my wife, she saw me like, honey, we can't afford to talk like that. You need to shut your mouth. I'm not going to lie. I kind of liked it when she talked that way. You know, I was like, okay, girl. But if you're not married and your partner isn't telling you to shut your mouth sometimes, you have to tell yourself to shut your mouth. Because there's a power of your words. Your words matter. Your assessment of a situation is often more important than the situation itself. Your words affect the level of your faith. Your words feed into faith, or your words feed into your fear. Your faith is voice activated, but your fear and your doubt is also voice activated. Amen? So what is this situation about the angel Gabriel shutting Zechariah up? I imagine that the first thing that Gabriel hears is Zechariah being like, how am I going? What? I'm too old. They didn't have Viagra yet. Then he's like, how are we going to make this happen? It don't make no sense. And Gabriel is immediately knowing what is to come. He's immediately seeing what's up. He's already heard from the Lord Almighty what's to come. And so Gabriel's probably like, no. Hey, Zechariah, I don't think you understand. I'm on a timeline. I'm on a Jesus timeline. I can't afford this negativity. I can't afford this faithlessness to spill into your heart to prevent from John the Baptist coming. I can't afford for this disbelief to get on Elizabeth's relative Mary because it's going to screw things. No. I need to shut you up. I need to shut you up. And sometimes we feel like God is cutting us off, but we fail to understand the full story that really, how often is it that we feel like God is cutting us off, but really God is trying to cut you in. Cut you into his promises, cut you into his blessings, cut you into his good life. If he could just cut off that negativity, cut off that doubt, cut off that fear, cut off those accomplices, amen? I am the kind of guy who knows what it is for God to cut me off from some friendships and relationships because God had some righteous people he wanted to be around me. I have known what it is for God to cut me off from an opportunity, an investment opportunity, knowing that God wanted to bless me with riches that add no sorrow. I have known what it is for God to cut me off from myself sometimes and what I couldn't do. Why? So that I wouldn't sabotage my life. And every little thing, we're just like, oh man, God has cut me off. God ain't, no, God's cutting you off to cut you in. Amen? I skipped a section. Bump it. Oh, wait, no, we're reading through the Bible sequentially. I do need to read it. Verse 23. When Zechariah's week of service in the temple was over, he returned home. Soon afterward, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and went into seclusion for 5 months. That is the biggest gap in all of Scripture right there. When his week of service in the temple was over, he returned home. Soon afterward, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant. Amen. How mad is Zechariah? It doesn't even talk about Zechariah. Like, God just shut you up. God cut off your mouth. Amen. Not cut off his mouth, but he silenced him. And Zechariah realized that he can't speak anymore. How mad are you? I'd be mad. First day, Zechariah, gotta be mad. Like, this is terrible. This is trash. Or, what a stupid joke. Mad that night. Mad a couple days. But what happens between verse 23 and verse 24? Zechariah, he can't talk. No arguing. Elizabeth's like, oh no, something really stoic about Zechariah these days. Zechariah sees Elizabeth and she ain't mad at me like she normally is. Something about Zechariah shutting up. They didn't have Vandross then. They didn't have Luther. But they find this, I'm just inferring between verse 23 and verse 24, they're old, real old. They're not like John and Susan. You know how they'd be playing hanky-panky on the front row? Not like John and Susan. This couple was, how am I going to do that? Because he got shut up, the mood came in. I'm just reading the word. He thought he was getting cut out. He was actually getting cut in. We're going to jump to verse 57. It says, there was a time when it was time for Elizabeth's baby to be born. She gave birth to a son. And when her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had been very merciful to her, everyone rejoiced with her. And when the baby was 8 days old, they all came for the circumcision ceremony, which apparently is when you also name the child. You thought you were getting cut out. But God was trying to cut you into your namesake. I just came up with that. They, who is they? Friends and family. So his relatives wanted to name this new boy Zechariah after his father. Seems fine. Elizabeth said with exclamation points, no, his name is John. what? There's no one in all of your family by that name. Zechariah was the normal name. John was the weird name. This was his own family saying, you should. Who's feeling family pressures in this season? Christmas is a time where family pressures come into the story. It's a time where sisters come into town, they take over your basement. It's like a whole thing. You get together, you're trying to figure out Christmas plans. I don't want to draw this point out, but what stood out to me about this is that this was a time of preparing the way, and there's family drama about this John the Baptist birth. And their family were trying to bring something in, but the problem with that was that it didn't align with what God had told them to do. God is a God of families. God is a God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God has a lot to say about Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2, honor your mother and father. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you, and you will have a long life on earth. Listen, if out of only self-serving reasons, honor your mother and father so that you will live a long life. When you are a child, honor your mother and father looks like obey what they say. You're under their roof. You get to be older, an adult, honor your mother and father looks like respecting them. But as you become older, sometimes there becomes a bit of a rub whereby what they wish of you doesn't necessarily align with what God's asked of you. This is just what resonates to me. I don't know. And so for Zechariah and Elizabeth, the angel said, you will name him John. His family, her family said, you should name him Zechariah. Elizabeth says, no, his name will be John. That's an uncomfortable family moment. How are you going to do Christmas? I don't know. I don't know what your family is. I pray that everybody loves the Lord in the exact same way that you do in your family. And they hear from the Lord exactly like you do in your family. My aim for me as a father of now 4 children, I've said this before, my ultimate aim is that I would raise children to become adults one day that would have it in their heart to obey the Lord, care about obeying the Lord more than they care ultimately about obeying me. Not now. I am standing in proxy to the Lord right now. Parents, you have a temporary role of God in your children's life. A temporary. Temporary. But when they come to the age of adulthood, can I just spill some tea real quick? Leave, April. April, get out. We had a mom get so mad after summer camp because her daughter decided to get baptized at youth summer camp. That's missing the plot, folks. That's missing the plot. My heart will rejoice when I see my children running towards the call of God on their life beyond me. Amen? Gosh. So the family were like, yo, Liz talking crazy. Let's ask Zachy boy what this name's going to be. Verse 62. And so they used gestures. You know gestures, right? Ugh. It's my kid. I don't know why. Kids are never changing. My kid's favorite game right now is they go like this. They say, Dad. Just kidding. It's that one, Dad. Ha ha ha. I was like, you think that's clever? I am standing in as the Lord in your life right now. So they used gestures to ask the baby's father what he wanted to name him. He motioned for a writing tablet, and to everyone's surprise, he wrote, his name is John. And the Bible says, instantly, Zechariah could speak again, and he began praising God. All fell upon the whole neighborhood, and the news of what had happened spread throughout the Judean hills. That's a good neighborhood name right there. The Judean hills. Everyone who heard about it reflected on these events and asked, what will this child turn out to be? For the hand of the Lord was surely upon him in a special way. And then we get into this section of the scripture about Zechariah's prophecy. It could also be Zechariah's song. He was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he gave this prophecy. Let's read it together, verse 68. Praise the Lord. This is right after Zechariah gets his voice back. You hear me? It says, praise the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited and redeemed his people. He has sent us a mighty Savior from the royal line of his servant David, just as he promised. Through his holy prophets long ago, now we will be saved from our enemies and all who hate us. He has been merciful to our ancestors by remembering his sacred covenant, the covenant he swore with an oath to our ancestor Abraham. We have been rescued from our enemies so we can serve God without fear, in holiness and righteousness for as long as we live. This is a priest. He knows what he's talking about. And you, my little son, now he's talking about John, you will be called the prophet of the Most High because you will prepare the way for the Lord. You will tell his people how to find salvation through the forgiveness of their sins because of God's tender mercy. The morning light from heaven is about to break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death and to guide us to the path of peace. Worship team, come join me. This is Zechariah's, essentially the first thing that he says. How long had he been mute? Like 9 months. I don't know about you, but my first sequence of words, it ain't going to be what Zechariah just said. Not even factoring in, like, ability, because I can't even talk straight until, like, 10 a.m. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah, I'm a millennial. I got to have coffee in me. Whatever. I'm a cliche. But with everything that had been taken into account, he could have been the kind of guy who he gets his words back, and he could have found himself cursing God. He could have found himself be like, I can't believe you took my voice that long. He could have been like, really? You couldn't have done it any other way? He could have been the kind of person who was cursing the Lord with his first lips. But what do we see? We see him overcome with thankfulness, with praises, with a blessing unto the Lord. He said, I'm going to praise him. He said, I'm not cursing God today. I'm blessing God. He said, I'm not just looking at my current circumstances. I'm thinking about how the Lord in his goodness will provide for me. I'm thinking about how he is my deliverer, how he is my savior. I'm thinking about how he is still preparing the way for his people, how he is the source of salvation, how he is still forgiving me of my sins. I'm thankful that he shut me up because I would have sabotaged it on my own. I'm thankful that he blessed me in my life because I couldn't have blessed it on my own. I'm thankful that he guided me. He carried me through the valley of the shadow of death. Besides still waters, he's the good shepherd. I'm thankful that he's tender mercy. I'm thankful that he's forgiveness of sin. I'm thankful that he's the morning light from heaven about to break through this dark cloud of a season, of a year, of a marriage, of a family, of a business, of a job, of a health report. I'm thankful that he's breaking through with the morning light in the shadow of death, and I'm thankful that he is a guider, a guide to the path of peace. Let us be like Zechariah. who even in the season of challenges and even of the shutting up and the cutting off, we would still be able to praise God, our Savior. If you receive the word, can we give the Lord some praise this morning?